The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Omicron surge underscoring uncertainty in the nation's full economic rebound, with high prices and limited supplies still eroding consumer confidence in the new year. President Biden acknowledging the pocketbook pain, saying in a statement, "We are making progress in slowing the rate of price increases." At the same time, this report underscores that we still have more work to do, with price increases still too high and squeezing family budgets. Nearly everything is more expensive, with used cars up 37%, furniture up 14%, and gas up more than 50% from a year ago. The cost of housing, food, clothes also spiking. The 7% increase in inflation over the last year is the highest jump in nearly four decades. Yet with inflation expected to remain high for much of the year, the Federal Reserve is signaling its intention to raise interest rates. With a winter wave of Omicron cases hitting restaurants, airlines, and other sectors hard, the economic recovery from COVID is shaping up to be even more tedious. Inflation also threatening to further complicate the president's Build Back Better agenda, with Senator Joe Manchin calling today's labor report very, very troubling.
Grocery store shelves are empty yet again, and it could reportedly be months before they're stocked to normal levels.
Omicron variant and coronavirus cases continue to rise, fueling a workforce shortage. We're told there's a shortage of truckers, a shortage of workers at the warehouses, plus fewer meat cutters, massive staffing challenges that have reignited supply chain struggles.
So for those that are wondering or looking for signs that inflation in the U.S. economy is easing or lessening, it doesn't sound like you're seeing that.
Sarah, we certainly don't see inflation slowing down in our business. We see an 8 to 10% increase in the food basket. We also see continued wage inflation across the marketplace.
Biggest yearly increase we have seen since the 1980s, right? This is not a good number. This isn't a good situation for the White House to deal with.
Prices are rising and predicted to continue climbing throughout this year. Our gasoline prices up more than 58% over the last year, and used cars and trucks, which are up 31.4% over the last year. And you're really seeing it across the board in household items. This type of inflation can ultimately derail an economy.
Just catastrophic numbers, really. Numbers that, as she said there, the last reporter, can derail an economy. It's right across the board, you heard in this montage. This is Joe Biden, the Joe-bama administration. It hasn't even been in office for a year. We're coming up to the one-year anniversary of this illegitimate presidency that stole the election. And now this. So much of it is planned. I'm sure they're looking for ways to put a positive spin on it. Perhaps they didn't want the catastrophe to set in this quickly, or this catastrophic collapse. They're out there. Well, Biden himself, he tweeted yesterday, "Today's inflation numbers show a meaningful reduction in headline inflation over the last month. We're doing pretty good. We're making progress." This is how the Joe-bama administration responds to these dreadful, dreadful reports. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. We're thankful for our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio. You can go to crntalk.com to see their website. We're on channel 3 of their platform. The live stream, the audio stream of this goes out every day on CRN channel 3. As I mentioned the other day, they're also providing us with some replay times on channel 6. I think it's, I wrote it down here. What is it? 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Not sure if that's Central Time or out west. In any event, if you go to crntalk.com, you can look at the TV schedule there and even see a few ads for the Trumpet Daily, which is kind of nice. But if you want to see our video stream, we offer that exclusively at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. I've got it on right here. And you can watch the program. You can watch the live stream on your laptop. You can also get to the show via Roku, as I mentioned the other day, for the first time, I believe, or at least the first time in a long time. I got a nice email from someone who watches every day, and there's a playlist and some videos. I guess it's video on Roku. So, again, I need to learn a little bit more about this technology. But you can do a lot with smart TVs this day, your smart devices. There's still quite a few people that get to the program via their Apple device on the podcast. So you can get to the audio, the video. There's a number of different ways that you can watch or listen to The Trumpet Daily every day, one of the fastest hours in broadcasting. Certainly, as far as broadcasting goes, because we don't have all the commercials, we pack more into 55 minutes than any other program, for sure. So coming back to these numbers, and the illegitimate Biden administration, the fake president, he's there basically saying it's pretty good. Remember what he said a few weeks ago? There's no supply chain crisis. And the shelves aren't empty. And you just saw two reporters in there talking about empty shelves. And if the shelves aren't empty, there's things that are just more difficult to find. My wife noted this the other day, and we're in a state where the shelves aren't necessarily emptying. But certain products, they just don't appear for a while. And, of course, if you look at root causes, I guess the best that they could say is that, well, it's the manufacturer or it's these big American companies that are just price gouging because they can. They never talk about the supply chains or China behind that. They never. When have you ever heard anyone in the Joe Obama administration talk about China with respect to the economy, with respect to the supply chains, with respect to the Wuhan flu? They won't even hold China responsible for a virus that's supposed to have killed millions and millions of people. We heard yet again, feature story news, Joe Biden, the clip they played at the top. The problem is the unvaccinated. They're going to keep saying that. Well, they won't stop. Even as people are dying, they'll blame it on someone that's just trying to live their life. That's just trying to perhaps live a healthier life. These numbers, though, this was to 7% inflation for the year. And then December, this was just out today. U.S. producer price inflation jumps 9.7% in December from a year ago, the highest year-by-year increase on record. It's been over 5% for months now, 5, 6, 7 months. Last month, 9.7%. And if you were listening to the montage, they're basically saying, get ready for more of this in 2022. Welcome to the new calendar year. Fox Business, it says wholesale prices rose at the fastest pace on record in December, the latest evidence that inflationary pressures are continuing to plague the U.S. economy. The Labor Department said Thursday that its producer price index, which measures inflation at the wholesale level before it reaches consumers, surged 9.7% in December from a year ago period. It marked the highest figure on record since the government began tracking the data in 2010, the highest percentage on record, and many are projecting it to get much worse. Much worse, another one from Fox Business. The eye-popping reading, which marked the seventh consecutive month the gauge had been above 5%, will likely amp up pressure on the Fed Reserve. Well, you heard some of that in the montage there. Yesterday, I gave you that quote from Herbert Armstrong from back in 1980, talking about the direction of not just this nation, the whole world, how that we've just been going the way of get. And it's especially bad in these last days, as 2 Timothy 3 says. And we're in a world that's in deep trouble, as Mr. Armstrong said. He was pointing to this decades ago. And of course, we've been talking in recent years about some additional prophecies that have really gotten into some of the fine points of what's to happen right here in the last days before the return of Jesus Christ. What's to happen right here in our nation, biblical Manasseh, the United States of America, prophecies about an Antiochus and a Jeroboam, and God's church fulfilling his will right up until the very last. This poll for Joe Biden, Quinnipiac, says here, the poll released today, I believe this was Tuesday, shows just how far Joe Biden has fallen in the eyes of most Americans. Of particular note, inside the data is how Hispanics and Latinos view the Biden policies as complete failures. Hispanics and Latinos, among adults overall, Americans give negative scores on the following issues when asked about Biden's handling of the economy. 34% approve, while 57% disapprove. As I said, these are catastrophic numbers. Foreign policy. And we haven't even completed a year yet with this fake president. Think about Afghanistan. 35% of Americans approve, 54% disapprove. How about his response to the coronavirus? Well, certainly of all the topics, this is the one. I mean, he's had the vaccine all year. 39% of America approves, 55% disapprove. So what do they have to hold up as a success? They can give the angry speech in Atlanta, like he did on Tuesday, call everybody on the opposite side racist. Or he can come out and say, look, the problem is the unvaccinated. But what positive message do they have to deliver? You wonder if Barack Obama's finished. They're already talking about Hillary as a replacement. Hillary Clinton. She's being brought back from the dead politically to, what, succeed Joe Obama? Or maybe to be another puppet like Joe Biden is? Real Clear Politics, Sam noted this morning, that keeps track of all of the polls, something like over 1,000 with respect to Donald Trump during his 4 years. And Sam said the lowest that he could find ever. And Trump had some low ones because everyone in the media, all of the communists in the media, in academia, in popular culture, in Hollywood, in Washington, D.C., the swamp, The executive agencies, the DOJ, the FBI, we now know, they absolutely despise Donald Trump. And the lowest we could find is 32% approval rating in an IBD-TIPP poll, whatever that is. Not one of your better-known polls. Joe Biden is at 33% at Quinnipiac. It's a fairly well-known poll. What does this tell you? And this, when the media, they have been more critical of Biden of late, but as far as the agenda, as far as the communist agenda is concerned, the media, they are on board with this. Yes, they're acknowledging that some of these inflation numbers are pretty scary, but they are on board. They are communist through and through. They want this. And even still, what does it tell you about what the majority of America thinks about this illegitimate administration? The eyes of so many are, a lot of people are talking about a great awakening. People waking up to what's actually happening in the United States. How unpopular is this president? Well, he goes to Atlanta to give that angry tirade on Tuesday. And Stacey Abrams, the speech, remember, was on voters' rights. And that is a cause that Stacey Abrams, who's from Georgia, champions. And she wants to be governor again. And she was nowhere to be seen when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris show up to talk about how racist the voting laws in Georgia are, when they're actually more strict in New York City and Delaware, Joe Biden's home state. But Georgia's a swing state, and they were able to do a lot of cheating in 2020, so they don't want any of that dialed back. They don't want any of the pre-2020 rules and regulations in place. They just want it wide open, like the wild, wild west. They want to be able to have 200, 250 activists coming in at 2 a.m. in the morning, just dumping ballots by the hundreds, by the thousands in some cases, so that a Democrat can steal the election. They stole the presidency. Then they stole the two Senate runoffs as well. They wouldn't have the Senate were it not for what they were able to do in Georgia. There are ongoing audits and investigations, by the way. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, I told you about that one the other day. Georgia. Even Raffensperger's looking into Georgia. That story is still there. But Stacey Abrams to not even show up for Joe Biden's angry speech on voting rights? She knows. That keep as much distance from Joe Biden as possible. You show up at Joe Biden's speech with all seven of the other people, and it's going to hurt you politically. He's the most popular president in the history of the United States. I'll play along. Can you believe this? 81 million votes, and he's not even a year in. And Stacey Abrams is nowhere to be found. She wants no part of Joe Biden, the basement president. What a fraud all of this is. Is America under attack? You better believe the United States of America is under attack. And you heard it here first with our booklet way back in 2013. What about this story? I saw a tweet about it and I just dismissed it. I thought, well, that's got to be fake. And then it shows up at Fox News. Says here, Fox News Channel kicked off the new year as the number one basic cable network from January 3 to 9, 2022, as CNN saw staggering declines, shedding nearly 90% of its early 2021 audience in multiple categories. CNN shedding 90% of its audience? Is this for real? It is. Now, granted, there was a lot of things going on last January. A lot of when they set up the insurrection hoax. Remember that Antifa guy? He was a paid employee of CNN. All those FBI agents that were in on it. They set it up, tried to frame the Trump supporters. I mean, that was huge. Everybody's watching CNN, certainly on January 6th. So with that, with Trump on the way out, with the fake inauguration and all that, there was a lot of newsworthy events going on here in the U.S. But still, this month, I mean, they've milked January 6th 1 year on for all that they can get out of that. And CNN, just try to let this sink in for a second. CNN has lost nearly 90% of its audience. What does this tell you? Think about that the next time Jim Acosta gets up or Brian Stelter and just starts talking about how evil Tucker Carlson is. Nobody's watching them. And more people are watching Fox News than they are ESPN, which is a sports channel here in the United States. Most people get basic cable. If you're just looking for the basic cable package, like I was a month or two ago, they get it because of Fox News. That's what it amounts to. So just like we were saying all through the months leading up to November 3rd, 2020, and then the months after, look, we saw what we saw. We saw the basement candidate rarely make an appearance. We saw the rallies where 7-8 people turned out. We saw the cars. Remember the car honking rallies? 8, 10, 12 cars. And then 81 million votes. It'll be interesting to see the turnout for this Saturday night's speech by Donald Trump. He's been fairly quiet over the last week or two. He canceled that press conference set for January 6th. But he's got a big speech in Arizona this Saturday night. And let's just see. Let's see what we see. See what he, of course, it'll be interesting just to see what he has to say about all that's been going on. The insurrection hoax, CNN losing its audience, all of these disastrous numbers, and the economy that's just breaking down before our eyes. I mean, it's a train wreck, and it hasn't even been a year. And these people just grasping, these communists grasping for straws, for anything that they can latch onto. And certainly not, they're not going to admit their mistakes. Someone asked Kamala Harris this morning, should you have gotten the test for COVID out sooner? We're getting them out. But I mean, should you have gotten it out sooner? We're getting them out. She can't even say, well, yeah, we probably should have. They're not going to say, you know what? The economy is bad, and we got to make some changes. Instead, they say, we're making progress. We got to get voting rights. Speaking of voting rights, listen to Chuck Schumer say the silent part out loud. This is from yesterday, I believe, clip 3.
Well, we are working. There are constant meetings, and not just among a few senators, but just about every senator, every single one of the 50 is talking individually to Joe Manchin, to Kyrsten Sinema. And they're saying things like, I'll lose my election if the legislature is allowed to do this in my state. We'll lose our majority.
He's talking about the two Democrats who don't want to blow up the filibuster. Schumer wants to blow it up. Never mind what he said 10, 15 years ago. Tom Cotton, by the way, hilariously, gave the exact same speech Schumer gave 10, 12 years ago. Yesterday on the Senate floor. And he was talking about how important the filibuster is. Oh, I mean, this is tradition. This has been around since from the beginning. We need this to preserve democracy. Now they want to blow it up. We got to blow it up because we got to stop these state legislatures from changing the voting laws. And by changing, again, let's be real, it means, look, let's get it back to the way it was before 2020 when there were 100 million ballots mailed all over the country. So they're just going back to 2019, basically. And these communists, they don't want any part of that because they know they can't win otherwise. And there is Chuck Schumer saying, yes, all of these Democrats, they're talking to Manchin, they're talking to Sinema, and they're saying, if you don't blow this up, we're not going to get reelected. So that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's just about getting Democrats voted into office. It's not about voting rights. We don't care about Americans and the ordinary people of America. This is what we have to do. Blow up tradition. Do whatever you can. What did my father say? We're getting a hard look at what these communists are willing to do to maintain their hold on power. They've got to have power. And they'll do anything to get it. They'll do anything to hold on to it. And suddenly, this has been remarkable to watch. You see some Republicans getting a bit of a backbone. I told you the other day, Senator Cruz wouldn't have pounced on that FBI official were it not for Tucker Carlson. So here we come back to Fox News, the number one rated cable news network. Far and away, it's pulling in ratings that are far and away ahead of CNN and MSNBC combined. Tucker Carlson calls out the senator from Texas, and then he comes on the next night to apologize to Tucker Carlson and his audience. And then just the other day, finally, Ted Cruz says, hey, how many FBI agents were in this so-called insurrection? Were they inciting it? What about Ray Epps? Is he a Fed? Is he an FBI agent? Does he work for some government agency? And you see all these DOJ, FBI officials scrambling, caught off guard. They didn't know what to say. One of them said, never heard of Ray Epps. The other one said, well, I know of him, but can't comment. You can't comment? You can't even tell us how many FBI agents were in that protest? You know what's happening in the communist networks? They're talking about Ray Epps. Now they're talking about Ray Epps. Now we're hearing politicians say things that we haven't heard for a year. They just caved in to the pressure following last January's fake insurrection. And suddenly they're beginning to see these catastrophic numbers, the poll numbers for Joe Biden and Barack Obama, we can add. The economy, the supply chains, the southern border. The fact that CNN can't get two viewers. Even Marco Rubio. I mean, this guy's been invisible for a year. The senator from Florida. Listen to him just yesterday, clip 12.
But I don't care how many candlelight vigils and musical performances you have from the cast of Hamilton. You're not going to convince at least most normal and sane people that our government last year was almost overthrown by a guy wearing a Viking hat and Speedos.
Well, good for him. He's making essentially making the same point that we've been making for months and months. For so long, they were just afraid. Now we're getting closer to re-elections. Now they're beginning to see all these poll numbers. And they're probably getting a pretty good sense from their constituents that this is outrageous. What they've just, they just have sat back and allowed it to happen. Hardly even batting an eye. Cruz himself called January 6th a violent terrorist attack. And then along comes Tucker. And Cruz quickly begins to backtrack. Does it have anything to do with those ratings numbers? Whether it's the Joe Bama rating, the approval rating or lack thereof, or the ratings for Fox News, or the ratings for CNN? Tom Cotton, he jumped in there. There was the other senator that talked to Fauci and said, hey, you know, let's get all of the documents without redactions. It's amazing what a little bit of truth can do. Jesus said, I don't want to make it sound like I'm quoting Joe Biden. Jesus did say, though, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus, though, he didn't have to go around and insert the word truth in every other sentence to try to convince people that he had the truth. That's what Joe Biden was saying the other day, quoting the Bible, referring to the Bible, telling everybody they're racist. We have the truth. You don't. The truth is being exposed. As I say, those communist networks, they're obviously saying the Ray Epps thing is a conspiracy theory. There's no evidence. They're obviously saying the FBI officials involved in the protest, it's a conspiracy theory. There's no evidence, but they have to talk about it. They have to talk about it. Here's one MSNBC commentator talking about it. And notice the little lie. He thinks he's pointing out the lies of the other side. And notice the lie that he puts into his statement. This is clip two.
If you want a conspiracy about January 6th, and somebody, you don't want to think, my team, the MAGA guys, we were the ones who stormed the Capitol. We killed cops. We're domestic terrorists. We're the bad guys. You don't want to think about yourself as the bad guys, right? And so when someone tells you, actually, it was Antifa, you go, okay, great. If someone tells you, actually, it was the FBI that did it, you go, okay, great.
He puts himself in the place of the Trump supporters saying, we stormed the Capitol. We killed cops. No wonder their ratings are just plummeting. They're desperate. You watch the first 15, 20 minutes of Morning Joe this morning. I wish I would have kept track. How many times they mentioned Trump, Donald Trump, Trump, Trump. I don't think they mentioned Biden once in that first segment, but it was Trump, 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 Trump. And there was one statement, I believe it was Joe Scarborough, who said he's referring to these Republicans from a year ago following January 6th. And he says they had their chance to walk away from Donald Trump. And they didn't do it. Now, for some, like I say, Rubio and others, it's taken a year for them to come around and to see the truth. But these people, Scarborough and company, they're just beside themselves. They got so close to driving Donald Trump away from the Republican Party. but it didn't quite work. They couldn't quite pull it off. Americans are wising up to the fact that, okay, we know where the communists are. And so they're casting their vote. Not because it's a midterm election. They're just simply switching off CNN. I've had enough. There's no truth there. I turn on these networks and I get a guy saying, he sounds like Nancy Pelosi, who holds a moment of silence for what was, it was four people, four officers initially. None of them died on January 6th. But she attaches them to January 6th because, well, it was worse than Pearl Harbor. Sam showed me a tweet later where somebody said there were six. This is another politician. He had six victims. And every time, of course, Ashley Babbitt doesn't make the list. Roseanne Boylan doesn't make the list. It's just the six people that didn't even die on January 6th. And they just lie. And there you heard one for yourself. He said, the MAGA supporters who stormed the Capitol and, in his word, killed cops. As I say, no wonder people are just shutting off the television. When it comes to CNN, that is. With respect to Fox News, it's a different story. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to our program, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com. Trumpet Daily.
Yesterday in our study, we went through some verses in Matthew chapter 6, these verses that culminate in what Jesus said there in verse 33 about seeking first the kingdom of God, really making sure that we get our priorities organized in a way that they align with God's priorities. The kingdom of God, the righteousness of God, that is uppermost in God's mind. Just backing up from Matthew 6:33, look at verse 31. It says here, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God knows what we need. So don't become overly worried or anxious about how we're going to meet all those needs, necessities in some cases. God knows. What God wants to see is our heartfelt cries to Him, our Heavenly Father. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, said the Apostle James. Above all, God wants a relationship with us. He wants for us to establish consistent, regular, fervent, heartfelt contact with our great Creator, our Maker. As I say, He gives us the priorities here in verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, these material things, shall be added unto you. God wants us to live a blessed life, even in the physical realm. Jesus came that we might have life more abundantly. That's in John 10 and verse 10. But he certainly doesn't want for us to set our hearts on physical things. As I read to you yesterday, or paraphrased it, that exchange between the young rich man and Jesus Christ in Matthew 19. The young man just couldn't let go of physical things. His heart was set on them. And God, in the spiritual realm, came second. God's not going to play second fiddle to anything or anyone else. This is the first and great commandment. Put God first above all else. That's what Matthew 6:33 is all about. Verse 34 says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Just really concentrate on making the very most of this day. God really wants to keep it simple for us. Sure, there's something to be said for some long-term planning, some intermediate goals or plans that you set for your life, your marriage, your family. But when it comes right down to it, what matters is the daily. As it says in the book of Daniel, what matters is that daily sacrifice that we put in. Romans 12 and verse 1. Mr. Armstrong says this. This is in the Seven Laws of Success book. "Did it ever occur to you that there might be a reason why so many people make a failure of life? Not only men and career women, but wives and mothers too. Are you one who is wrestling with the problem of making ends meet? Nearly all of us are. This problem need not mean failure, yet it often leads to it. It is, in fact, the vast majority. It is a fact, I should say. The vast majority do wind up failures, yet none need fail." As I said in a program the other day, it might have been yesterday, but Mr. Armstrong also talked about how that for so many people, they're just victims of circumstance. Whatever, now I've stressed recently too, the importance of our environment. So what is around us, it does matter. It is important. But we don't want to just go with the flow. We want to swim upstream like salmon do on the way to spawn. We want to be able to go against the crowd. If that's what it takes to stand up for God, and usually it does. Mr. Armstrong spoke of his life coming into God's church, the way he was leading up to his conversion. He says, at age 16, there had formulated no definite goal to work toward further than the general ambition to succeed. Of what that success was to consist had to crystallize later. And he says also, so far it was pure vanity, but it was a positive vanity, and that might be vastly preferable to a negative, purposeless humility. It was the first start toward later accomplishment. See, he really did have ambition, and before his conversion, it was motivated in large part by vanity. But as he brings out there, at least he wanted to do something. To not just go with the flow, to not just be a victim of circumstance. He admitted in his autobiography that he was too conceited. He says, "Perhaps I was entirely too proud in those days. Actually, there is no perhaps about it. I was. Later, I was forced to suffer for years to have this vanity and conceit crushed out before I could ever have been fully prepared for the responsibilities of today." Further on, he talks about how important it is for young people, well, for all of us, to be mentally alive. We heard a forum today in the college sphere by Brad McDonald about just how important it is really to bring a lot of this mental energy and life into our writing projects, in the case of the students, their term papers. in really going deep in thinking through the subject, as opposed to just reading a few things and pulling a few quotes together and just kind of scratching the surface. This is what God wants for our lives. This is what he wants for any project or endeavor that we start in on. He wants us to be mentally and spiritually alive. He wants us to bring God into it. I mean, God's the deepest thinker in the universe. If you bring God into the project, if you bring God into the activity, you're bringing in God's mind. You're bringing in God's direction. You're bringing in God's instruction. God is educator. We went through this today in Principles of Living. It was inspiring for me to see how that subject tied right in with what the students heard previous to that in the forum. That's the way God often works, isn't it? He inspires all of these messages, all of this instruction from his servants. And he really gives to the disciples. He gives to the students quite a smorgasbord. I mean, they've got a little bit of everything every day. What a wonderful blessing to receive those admonitions, to receive that instruction, to know it's coming from God. As I was telling the students in Principles, you go back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. You come into the first part of Genesis chapter 2. You see God, he's taking a rest from all that he had made. But like Herbert Armstrong brought out in so many of his writings, he didn't stop creating. He created the Sabbath. And on that Sabbath, he started teaching Adam and Eve. He started teaching them the truth about why they were made, the truth of the gospel, God's purpose for making mankind. He put him in the Garden of Eden. He told them to dress it, to keep it. He said, have dominion over this creation. He talked about the two trees. Stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of life, take from that freely. That tree was a symbol of God's truth, God's revelation, God's spirit. And then you get to the end of Genesis 2 and it says, it's not good for a man to be alone. So God created the woman. He made them male and female. He created sex. And then he explained why. And by the end of Genesis 2, just two chapters into the book, you're reading about a man and a woman leaving their father and their mother and cleaving to each other as one flesh, marrying. You've got the institution of marriage. You've got references to father, mother, woman, the man, marriage, God's Sabbath, the tree of life. They had all the essential knowledge that they needed to be a spiritual success. Then God allowed the serpent or the devil to influence them in the wrong direction, and they didn't resist against it. Eve opened the door wide open to the devil, and Adam stood by and just let it all happen. And God took decisive action. He cut man off, starting with Adam and Eve, but it continues through to this day, except for the very few that God's called out of this world in advance of Jesus Christ's return to prepare a wife for Jesus Christ. Because God is a family. You don't hear this in the world of traditional Christianity. And yet it's in Genesis and it's in Revelation. Read Revelation 19 about the marriage between Christ, the second Adam, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, and the church, who is the wife, or the second Eve in that sense. You get a consistent message from Genesis 1 and 2 all the way through to the end. God is educating his family. He's educating the bride of Christ. and how sad and shameful that so many brethren of God have turned and walked away from true education, from the deep things of God. They were reasoning together with God, as it says in, I believe, Isaiah 2, chapter 1 or 2. But they walked away from that spiritual reasoning. They walked away from the mind of God. What a sad and tragic decision to make. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I read these verses to you the other day. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave to him. Well, it talks about a husband and a wife cleaving to one another in the end of Genesis 2. So what is God trying to get across here? With all of these, in the case of marriage, it's a physical institution. It's a physical union, I should say, and a divine institution because God made it. God created it. Why did he create it? Well, because it reveals a lot about his awesome purpose and plan for all of mankind. He wants us ultimately to cleave to him, to God, to our Maker, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Eternal sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Herbert Armstrong wrote about God's supreme purpose, saying, "It is to develop godly, perfect character in the millions of mankind who shall do this creative completion throughout the entire limitless physical universe." You see, God's family is to go out and to populate the universe, to rule the universe, to be given jurisdiction over the universe. This is what God wants for us to do, ultimately. This is what God's preparing us to do with this royal education that he's giving to us. 1 Chronicles 29. In verse 9, it says, "Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Eternal. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." David here wanted to build a temple to honor the great God, to praise God. And he really inspired the people to just pour their hearts into God's work. And they gave willingly. Verse 10 says, "Wherefore David blessed the Eternal before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Here's a wonderful prayer of thanksgiving and praise. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." It says, "Both riches and honor come of you, and you reign over all, and in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." Verse 13 says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name, but who am I? Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of your own have we given you." See, David prayed this prayer of thanksgiving, this prayer of praise to God, because he was just so thankful that he and the people of Israel could participate in the work of God. There is no greater responsibility or opportunity on earth today to put our hearts in God's glorious work. It is, after all, God's work. And so this is what keeps us inspired and motivated and driven that family vision, that family work that we're all participating in. I mentioned to my wife this example of a commentator who, while he has some really good conservative principles, he makes offhanded remarks about his boys into video games and his health is this way, not so good, and there's this, there's that. It just seems like that for conservative principles, the family should be a greater source of joy and health and vitality. But for so many people, that's where it really breaks down. I mentioned all the scientists working on the James Webb satellite to send that off into space and how that this project went on for 20 years, just and we still don't even know if it's going to work. Hopefully it will. But as I was saying in the marriage and family class, think of the people that spend years, in this case decades, analyzing and studying all the laws of physics to make sure that this machine can just even make it up into space. And I said, now imagine if people who were setting out to build a family for God, a marriage, and then a family, imagine how blessed that union, that family would be if all parties going in would really immerse themselves into the laws of God. The same God who made the laws of physics that sustain the universe, he also made the laws of marriage and family. And if we devote 20 years of our lives to studying those laws and keeping our lives and marriages and families within the bounds of those laws, then we will be blessed. Now, with respect to a marriage, there's two parties involved here, and sometimes one can go bad. We certainly have brethren in our church that are single, or maybe they're a single mom, or maybe the unconverted mate divorced or whatever might have been, but while that's not the ideal, it is something that you can recover from with God's help. But the solution in every case is to be immersed back into family, in this case, the spiritual family, God's family. And then, like we tell the students here often, I mean, they're both at God's college. They're both in God's church, two people who, looking down the road a little bit, they start a courtship. They prepare for marriage. They go through marriage counseling. I mean, these are wonderful ideals to do it the right way from the beginning. There's plenty of examples in this world. Plenty of examples of people doing it just flat out wrong, just rejecting God and his instruction, his guidance. Human nature doesn't want guidance from God. It doesn't want to live within the bounds of God's law. It just wants to do its own thing. I mean, look at Adam and Eve. Here they were married, two beautiful people, healthy, fit, access to the tree of life, educational sessions with God himself. And they just turned and walked away from that. That didn't get them excited, I guess. The devil's influence, well, it was just so powerful. The pull coming from the devil there in Genesis 3. Look, you don't need God. You don't need God to tell you the difference between what's right and wrong. You just decide. You decide for yourself. Well, there's a lot of people still doing that today, and look at the world we're living in. A new world is coming, and that world has started in God's church. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to submit some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.